We keep things rolling here on the Sports Cubicle. I'm your host, Mike Mercado. He's the one. He's the only. He's Paul Shavari. We got the peanuts and Cracker Jacks. It is time, my friends. The snow is gone and baseball is here. And we have had a lot of fun talking about the Chicago Cubs on this episode. Shout out to Rich Eberwein who joined us. But Paulie, we're going to take a bigger look at the National League and take a look at what the Cubs are going to be competing against, competing with, and how it all might shake out. There was a lot of news that hit all the coasts in the National League from Atlanta all the way to Los Angeles. And I think it's going to be a fun season in the National League specifically. I think there's a lot of competition in the NL. Before we go deep diving into it, your thoughts generally of looking into the National League in 2024. Are you excited? Does it have a chance to be the power division, the power league in this year's MLB season? Where are you generally, big picture?
Well, I guess, yeah, it's been since, what, 2021, since the last time we had a National League team win the World Series. That was the Braves, of course, the Dodgers in the pandemic season. 19 was the Washington Nationals. Completely different looking ball clubs than the three that I just named that were champions. However, Dodgers and Braves seem to be the popular two teams, the stacked two teams, the two favorites going into it. But my instant thought is it revolves around Shohei Ohtani and everything the Dodgers did in this offseason, because once again, they seem to be a traveling all-star team.
Now, what do you think about this? We'll start in the NL West, and I think the big story that I am thinking about is everybody knows that the LA Dodgers are going to be the favorites. Hands down, not only the favorites in the West, favorites in the National League, maybe the favorites in the entire Major League Baseball universe, right?
Yeah.
But I wonder, playing in the NL West, is there a chance, not just a good chance, but like a real good chance, a likely chance that playing in the same division with the San Francisco Giants and the San Diego Padres, all that firepower, one injury, one bad slump, they not only just miss the National League West divisional race, but they might miss a wild card, which I don't think will happen. But that idea, that amount of competition, is that something we should be looking out in the National League West specifically with already the given they're the favorites? Is that more a storyline?
Well, they still got to play the games. I mean, I remember the year that the Padres, you know, they were stacked going into the season, and it looked like they were going to be the odds-on favorite to win, and they ended up being terrible. I think it was 2022 Padres, if I'm not mistaken. And you know, of course, they reloaded once again, got their 2023. They had to, you know, they fell apart once again. No, okay, 2021 Padres. Now that I remember this, because the 2022 Padres made the playoffs and had a late run. The 2023 Padres were supposed to build on that, and they ended up being a disaster. So depth is important, but being loaded with all-stars doesn't necessarily just make you, you know, a great team. But at the same time, I look at Los Angeles, and it's not just all-stars. These are former MVPs or current MVPs.
Right.
They're, you know, Betts, Freeman, Ohtani. Who am I missing? There's got to be one more in there. It's insane. It's getting to the point where they're moving Betts around the diamond just so that they can load more stars into the field. Was it Will Smith behind the plate? There's all sorts of great players on the Dodgers. Now, yeah, one or two injuries, especially in the pitching department, could ruin teams. When I look at this roster, I look at this division, I see, of course, the Dodgers, so stacked, so much depth, they could handle a couple of injuries and be okay. They have a deep farm system as well as that. Arizona, kind of the same sort of story. They have, I think, a little bit less of a treasure trove of all-star players compared to the Dodgers. But we saw what they were able to do last year. When you have healthy pitching with Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly amongst all the guys that they have, you know, they could make a deep run. Pitching will still take you far as long as you have enough offense and enough pitching to get you there. I think San Francisco did great things to improve in this offseason. I think San Diego with that late trade for Dylan Cease is interesting, but I don't think it's really enough to keep them in contention. And then I think the Colorado Rockies are always going to be a mess. Who knows if even if they spent money on some of the best ground ball pitching in the world, they're still in Coors Field. It's still kind of a rough environment. And I think they're still the Nolan Arenado trade killed them. The Trevor Story leaving moved them. And it's things that happened 5 years ago that are still affecting this franchise today. And I'm curious to see if they'll ever be able to work their way out of it. But yeah, it's a top heavy division. It's the Dodgers division to win. But I like the Giants and the Diamondbacks kind of putting a pause to that this year.
And I'm so glad you brought up the Diamondbacks. I mean, that's another team that's going to be on their heels. We didn't even bring up like Max Muncy. We didn't even bring up that they have James Troutman.
That
they're just stacked. Like, this is a team that, and eventually Shohei Ohtani will join that pitching rotation next year. So there's a lot, but specifically,
and that rotation's already stacked with Yamamoto coming in from Japan. Bobby Miller's been a big emergence.
So a lot of pressure on the Dodgers. The most pressure I think we've ever seen in this modern era of the Dodgers era, of the Astros era. Like, the most pressure is on this Dodgers team to win.
It gives me vibes like the Yankees from like 20 years ago.
Interesting.
After getting beat by the Marlins when they were the favorite in that World Series.
Okay.
Even in that era, you know, year by year, it was always the Yankees were the favorites or one of the favorites going into the season. And then they didn't make the World Series until 2009. So, and that was a completely different looking team than the ones that they fielded in, you know, 2004, 2005, 2006. So, I feel that's going on with the Dodgers right now, and I feel like there's a little bit more pressure because the pandemic World Series is an asterisk in the minds of a lot of fans. You know, so you have to go back to 1988 for their last championship, whereas the Yankees were able to you know, even in the mid-2000s, they still were fresh off of going to the World Series 4 out of 5 years and winning it, you know, 4 out of 5 years.
I think that's a great point to bring up just recent history and the full context of it. And speaking of recent World Series, why don't we move on to the other coast? We move on to the East Coast in the NL East. We're here breaking down the National League on the Sports Cubicle. I'm Mike Mercado. He's Paul Shavari. And this is an interesting one. We're seeing how the Mets are trying to rearrange the organization after this new ownership. Phillies are going to be dangerous. They've made a lot of moves. Marlins, I mean, I think the Marlins could be one of these teams that could be sneaky, above 500 type of good.
They were last year.
Yeah, so we'll see. Washington, I think, is going to be on the basement. But I want to know your big thoughts on the big team in this division. It's the Atlanta Braves. Is this clear cut that they're the best team in the National League, or specifically in the NL East? Do they have a claim at that crown? How much are the Mets and Phillies going to be a hindrance to them trying to be the best team in the National League?
Well, I think in years past, you'd throw the Mets into that mix with the Braves and the Phillies, but obviously the Mets took a step backwards trying to, you know, resolve what happened after spending too much in the Buck Showalter era and trying to right the ship in the Steve Cohen, you know, ownership era. It's going to be Atlanta or Philadelphia winning this division, in my opinion. Sure, Philadelphia always has Atlanta's number in October, but for some reason, Atlanta kind of always wins the marathon of the regular season. So I'm going to go on that route. Until proven otherwise, I think the Braves are always the class of this division. You know, we're keeping October out of this. That's a separate story. But yeah, it's Atlanta, Philadelphia, and then the rest. You're right. Miami, I think, you know, I'm in agreement where Miami could be a sneaky team above 500, might be like on the tail end of a wild card appearance. I think the Mets are still going to right the ship, but you never know with them. They might be able to make a few moves that put them in the right position. They might be a team that surprises out of the gate and maybe can sustain that for a little bit. Washington will be the cellar dweller, though. But I think even regardless of any of the other teams having a good run, I still think Atlanta and Philadelphia are just too deep and too powerful to not be there in October or at the top of the division.
I think it's going to be really fun, though. We're going to watch a lot of East Coast baseball. There's going to be a lot of games that are on primetime. But speaking about a lot of games that we're going to see and we're going to have our eyes on, the National League Central. Interesting one. Talk about top heavy. I wouldn't say that it's dominant top heavy. I would just say the best teams are just in the top of this division. The Cubs, the Cardinals, and I think the drop-off happens there. Cincinnati will be hanging around. Milwaukee has just shown everything that they are going to be on a rebuild. They're going to retool. They're going to get rid of contracts. And Pittsburgh gets Pittsburgh. They have some nice players, but a lot of them end up in the New York Yankees organization. So, Paulie, let me ask you this. We've talked about it with friend of the show, Rich Eberwein, about this. Were you on the Chicago Cubs, the Cincinnati Reds, and the St. Louis Cardinals in the National League Central?
I don't think the Reds did enough to improve their pitching, but I still think it's such an impressive lineup. You know, the fact that, you know, Ellie De La Cruz, with how great he is.
He's awesome.
Spencer Steer. The fact that they added Jamer Candelario to this mix. You know, I think
sneaky.
You know, 1 through 9, I think they have a great batting order no matter who's in it, how they want to mix it up. It's going to be exciting. They're going to put up runs. The problem is they never really address their pitching, so that's going to be an issue for them. I don't think it's going to be enough to win the division. It's the Cubs division to win no matter what. I mean, I think their pitching is just stacked. They brought back Bellinger, you know, bringing in Shoto Imanaga from Japan, I think, kind of bolsters that rotation a little bit. You know, Hector Neris or Neris, I mean, in the end of the bullpen, whether he's going to be set up or closer, I like it. I think the Cardinals took a step backwards.
Interesting.
I think that they had starting pitching concerns, and they thought that they addressed it with with Sonny Gray and Lance Lynn, and I think there's another guy in there. Yeah. We saw what happened to Lynn last year. Despite the fact that he tied the record for most strikeouts in a game by a White Sox pitcher, he still was struggling last year and giving up a lot of runs early in games, not making it past the fifth, sixth inning in some regards. So if they consider Lance Lynn to be an improvement to the rotation instead of a guy that's going to just bolster a little depth in the starting rotation, that's an issue right there. Sonny Gray has an injury that might delay him at the start of the season. Sonny Gray's a great pitcher. The problem is he's getting older and older, so you got to hope that you can get 30 starts out of him, and you know, even then that might be a problem because we don't know when he's going to make his debut with his hamstring injury. So I don't think St. Louis addressed the problems that they had. I think a lot of guys had bad seasons last year, but I don't expect that all of them are going to have career years this year. It's the Cardinals. They're a great team. They're deep, but they're not the world beaters or the killers that we always remember them being. And keep in mind, we're still in the post Yadier Molina era, and I don't think they've made the playoffs without him. So it's definitely the Cubs division to win. It should be a tight one. I think the Pirates are going to be sneaky good, but at the same time, I don't think they're going to be sneaky good or they're going to be that much better than the 76 wins that they got last year. I think they might flirt with 500. I think Milwaukee took a huge step back with losing Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff, and especially their manager Craig Counsell going to the other side of the division with the Cubs. So it's going to be a weak division, but that's great if you're a Cubs fan because I think I would put money on the Cubs winning the division this year because they're the odds-on favorite.
Yeah, they got put money on winning the NL Central at about 86, 87 wins, and yeah. I think you're good to go.
And nothing beyond that. I don't think they're going to have a deep playoff run, but at the same time, we'll see what they end up doing between now and October, if they're going to add to the roster, what they're going to do.
And the one thing that's in our baseball Bible here on the Sports Cubicle, it's two different seasons. It's 162, and it's the postseason. So all you got to do is get into the dance and hope for the best. Paulie, before we leave, I want to give you some the rankings. The Dodgers are the odds-on favorite. You could probably get them mostly averaging about plus 170 to win the NL. The Braves hanging around plus 250. The Phillies probably around plus 650. The Cardinals at plus 1400. And the Cubs at plus 1600. So just some food for thought for all you
to win the pennant or win the World Series?
To win the pennant.
Okay.
So just, we're the favorites.
You know what? Okay, I like that plus 1600 with the Cubs because they could surprise in October.
Cardinals,
that pitching is deep.
Cardinals are hanging around about plus 1600, plus 1400 as well. So people will have some love for the Cardinals also.
I think the Cubs are a better value.
You heard it here. We got more coming up next here on the Sports Cubicle. I'm Mike Mercado. He's Paul Shavari.
Hey, keep in mind we got AL preview next week as well as the full ML preview where we'll give you our pennant winners, our World Series winners, and the MVP predictions.
And we keep things rolling here on the Sports Cubicle. I'm your host, Mike Mercado. He's Paul Shavari, and it has been a very baseball heavy episode, rightfully so, as we've been breaking down all the news that's been going on in Korea with Shohei Ohtani and breaking down what should be hopefully not a miserable season over in the south side of Chicago. Make sure you guys go to the archives to check out our conversation with Cubs insider Rich Eberwein, who gave us a lot of information heading into the Cubs season. We've talked about the National League, we've talked about the south side. It is now time, speaking of the South Side, to look at the grand picture of the American League this coming up 2024 season. And Paulie, before we get into each division, big picture, when you're looking at the American League in 2024, what intrigues you the most heading into the spring/summer?
What intrigues me?
Of the American League, specifically in 2024.
I guess let's see if Texas and Baltimore can replicate the success that they had last year while they have, you know, the big teams like Houston and the Yankees and the Rays breathing down their necks. You know, the teams that have been there before, done it, and are expected to do it. Can these, and I don't want to call them like the little programs or the out-of-market programs, but what Baltimore is doing is really exciting. The fact that they won the division last year with what they have and how they're young and exciting, they have all this talent. And then meanwhile, Texas, you know, all this talent helmed by Bruce Bochy. So I think, yeah, Baltimore and Texas are the two teams I'm really excited about and how they're going to stave off some of these bigger teams.
So let's start off in the American League East, because I'm with you with the Baltimore Orioles. I'm very excited to see what they do in that division, what they do with that young roster, what they do in that division, where we've seen New York make certain type of investments. We've seen Tampa Bay trying to ride this ship of replenishing their major league roster after making some moves themselves. Toronto is going to be interesting. Boston, if they're going to be a basement dweller. But I really want to get your thoughts on how you think the AL East plays out, because as somebody who's interested in Baltimore, wanted to see them come out of that tough division, how do you think it shakes out?
I think Baltimore wins it again. I just think there's just so much depth. You know, the fact that, you know, they even have guys that haven't even made their debut yet that are going to be supposedly great, like Jackson Holliday, the son of Matt Holliday. But the fact that last year you had like Gunnar Henderson, the rookie of the year, but like he almost could have been in the argument for MVP. And I think he could replicate that this year. I also think that Grayson Rodriguez will take a step forward. And the fact that now they have Corbin Burns in the rotation. The downside is you don't have Felix Bautista anymore as your closer until he comes back from Tommy John surgery, which I don't think is going to happen this year.
Not this year, I don't
so
think.
They have to rely on Craig Kimbrell, who's been
in
decline, past few years. And if Kimbrell was in such high demand as a closer, why hasn't he stayed with any of the teams that he's been with over the last few years? The Cubs, the White Sox, the Dodgers. So I think that's going to hurt them in the long run. Is how bad is the bullpen going to be for Baltimore? May the best team win. Tampa Bay Rays, I think, took a tiny step backwards, but I always doubt them, and they always prove me wrong. I always overvalue the Toronto Blue Jays, and they let me down, even though there's a ton of talent on that roster. And then there's always looming the Yankees, which,
yeah,
how sick is that lineup going to be with, like, it's probably going to be like Rizzo into, you know, leading off, or Rizzo at five, or you have Volpe leading off into Soto, then you have Judge and then Giancarlo Stanton. That's mm-hmm. I saw, you know, Stanton's ripped a couple home runs this spring that have gotten out of the park fast. So I mean, it's a sick lineup, but everyone's got to stay healthy, and we all know that Stanton has had health issues. Judge has been hit or miss season to season with his health, and of course Soto, he disappeared last year too.
So needs some numbers to make that number though, mm-hmm. right? Money, he's gonna have to have that big season, right? Like, and it will help doing it for the New York Yankees.
Like when they're at their best, they're amazing and breathtaking, but when they're at their worst, they're useless. So that's the Yankees. Which Yankees are gonna get? You know, in addition to Garrett Cole's gonna be missing some time, so
sure.
I think that's gonna hurt them because I don't think they have a strong pitching staff. They're gonna have to hope that Nestor Cortez does better. Carlos Rodon is kind of hit or miss. So yeah, I mean, Red Sox are going to be bad expected this year. So, I mean, I think that's kind of how it plays out. I don't know if I got it right in that order, but I definitely think Baltimore at the top, Boston at the bottom, the middle three, you can jot, you know, kind of mix around there
as the season goes on. So that's going to be a fun race. So I'm with you. There's going to be a lot of excitement, a lot of intrigue in the American League East. Want to go head on to the other coast. Let's go to the AL West where the killers are. The killer bracket, right, is going on. You have the Texas Rangers, the defending World Series champion Texas Rangers, the Houston Astros, the Seattle Mariners, the Angels, and the Athletics. So sad what's going on in Oakland right now. We'll talk about it as the season goes on and see how the fans and how baseball interacts with that organization over the next 6 months. LA obviously losing the biggest player in sports and maybe a blessing with the story going on right now to see how that plays out. But the top three, I'm guessing until Houston finally has the head chopped off, you're going to wait to see if they're going to actually disappear. They're always going to be in contention in the American League West. Seattle, I think, would be a lot of fun with a player you and I, and I think baseball lovers loving Julio Rodriguez. And obviously Texas, just a deep lineup, scary pitch. Where are you at in the American League West?
I think Texas is going to win the division and close it out this year. They almost won the division last year, but lost it on the last day of the season. But then you saw when they got into the American League Championship against the Astros, they took care of business. They get to the World Series. They win the whole thing. They looked strong. It's basically the same team coming back. I mean, yeah, you don't have Mitch Garver anymore, but you know, it's like, he wasn't really a catcher for them anyway. It was a DH. They have plenty of great hitters. You know, Adolis Garcia, Evan Carter coming back. You know, of course, Corey Seager's still on that roster. Marcus Semien, Nathaniel Lowe. Jonah Heim is a great hitter behind the plate. So I think they definitely have the talent. And keep in mind, if DeGrom stays healthy, Jacob DeGrom, that could only help them going forward, having one of the best pitchers in the league who missed half the season last year with an injury. So, yeah, I like that team. Not that I think it discredits Houston, but I think it'll be interesting with Joe Espada as their manager versus Dusty Baker. Shouldn't make that much of a difference because Espada was the bench coach, but I'm wondering how that comes into play. The part that I think is really interesting about them is having Josh Hader as their closer. I think that's a difference maker right there. We'll see ultimately what the Astros end up doing. But the Astros, to me, are kind of like the Braves or maybe the Dodgers, where until someone proves that they aren't the best,
right,
then I'm going to pick them to be the best. Although this year, I think Texas edges Houston by a couple of games for the division. But you can flip-flop those two teams, you know, either way. For me, it's either Houston or Texas winning that division.
Stay up late if you're a baseball lover, if you got the MLB package, if you're on YouTube TV, stay up late for those West Coast games, because the AL West is going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot of stars that play
Julio
out
Rodriguez,
over there.
Oh, yeah, Julio Rodriguez, Mike Trout. We haven't even talked about the guys on the other teams yet. Yeah,
the AL West is a lot of fun, so make sure, don't let the East Coast bias take away, even us here in the Central, as much as we love Central Division baseball, make sure you stay up to watch AL West baseball. But speaking of Central baseball, where there's going to be snow for the first month and a half of baseball, why don't we talk a little bit about what's going on there? Obviously, if you listen to the NL special, we talked about, if you're here locally in Chicago, things you can look forward to, things that you can keep an eye on, scouting in your own division. It's not so much the case here in Chicago in the AL side of the Central. You have the Twins, the Tigers, the Guardians, the Royals, and the White Sox. And I want to know your thoughts. We've heard, you know, the gripe and the sorrow and the realness of what's going on with White Sox Nation. You can hear that here on this episode of the Sports Cubicle. But let's talk about the AL Central big picture. Where are you at on this cold, cold division?
To me, it seems like Minnesota's the only team that has it together. I could see Detroit or Cleveland making a run. Obviously, Kansas City and Chicago are just kind of a hot mess. Maybe Kansas City could surprise some people. I don't think so. I mean, we already talked about the Sox, Devin and I, and how much of a mess that is. But yeah, someone's got to win the division, unfortunately. So I think it'll go to Minnesota. I really want to see the Tigers do it this year. I think they got a ton of young talent. But I just don't know if they have enough to really keep it going. Yeah, I mean, you know, in Cleveland with Stephen Vogt as their manager, that should be interesting. But at the same time, maybe that hurts them because Terry Francona is a great manager. And seeing him step away and having a rookie manager come in, maybe that hurts them this year. And of course, we don't know what the big picture is. You know, are they going to trade Shane Bieber, or are they going to make some moves to rebuild for their future? We don't know exactly where Cleveland is standing right now, but it's anybody could win this division because I don't see anyone truly running away with it. When I say Minnesota's the best team, I have them at 89 wins this year. So someone has to represent the division in the playoffs. I think it'll be Minnesota. I won't be shocked if it's Detroit or Cleveland. I'll be floored if it's Kansas City or Chicago.
I think it's a good call with Minnesota. I don't think there's a real sneaky team on there. So I think that's a great pick by you, Paulie. But that's our AL preview. We have finally put them in the books, our National League and American League preview for the 2024 MLB season. I'm your host, Mike Mercado. He's Paul Shavari. We're here on the Sports Cubicle. Well, if we've made our predictions for the MLB regular season, if spring training is almost over and we have opening day already happening across the globe, that means it's time to put our money where our mouth is and make our predictions. Award season, hardware season, who's going to win pennants, who's going to win divisions. Paulie, you have this list up that we put up on social media. You want to go down this list really fast? I'll give you the award and you give me the winner.
Okay.
Ready? American League MVP, who do you have winning?
Julio Rodriguez, but I have Aaron Judge and Gunnar Henderson up in the running as well.
I have Julio Rodriguez winning the MVP award as well. The NL MVP, who wins it?
Oh, it's hands down Ronald Acuna Jr. I mean, after what he had last year with his, the first guy to do, 40-60, 40 home runs, 60 stolen bases. He's been one of the hottest players over the last few years. But, of course, Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman and Shohei Ohtani and, I mean, Bryce Harper. There's so many in the National League.
I was going to make it Shohei until this week has happened. I'm with you. It's Acuña Jr.
Well, and keep in mind, Shohei is not going to be pitching this year, too. So I think that kind of takes him out of the race. So he's going to really have to make up for it with his bat. Not to say he can't do it.
Right.
It's just, I think that's always the edge that Shohei has had, is that he's the two-way player. And this year, he's going to be a one-way player.
So thinking about how Baseball Writers of America think, my thought process would be like, see, he can do it, even with Tommy John surgery happened. I thought the story was both from now on and also.
But I mean, that'd be a hard case if, let's say, Freeman has like 35 home runs and Mookie has a great season. You know what I'm saying? You've seen that happen. We've seen that happen where sometimes your teammates are so good, it splits the votes up.
100%. AL Cy Young, you and I both agree on this one. Who do you have winning?
Corbin Burnes, and I would have said Gerrit Cole if he didn't miss the first month of the season or if he's not going to miss the first month out of the season. But yeah, Corbin Burns on the Baltimore Orioles, he's going to have more protection than he had in Milwaukee. He's going to be the leader of that staff. He's always had great strikeout material. But Luis Castillo from Seattle, Joe Ryan from Minnesota, those are some exciting players to watch out for as well.
So this is one where you and I disagree with, but it's a very close one. The National League Cy Young, who do you have winning?
Okay, I went with Logan Webb on this one, and you know, Zach Wheeler's another
That's
good one from
pick.
Philadelphia. Yeah,
Zach
I mean, you know, of course, Aaron Nola, his teammate.
Yeah.
I put Yoshinobu Yamamoto out
Couldn't
there, but when I wrote this,
You
know, this is before I found out he was going to get rocked in the first inning of his first game, so I might kind of pull back on that one. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of talent in that whole league, so I like, you know, Wheeler's great. I probably would have picked him, but I feel like Webb is going to be, you know, destined for a breakout season here.
Let's go to the
Of course, now Blake Snell's on the Giants, too, which I didn't know that when I made these predictions originally.
Let's go really fast. Give me your AL and NL Rookies of the Year.
Jackson Holliday for Baltimore, and I put Yamamoto for the Dodgers. But, of course, keep in mind, Jackson Churio, 19 years old, making his debut with the Brewers. Could be exciting. And the grandson of the win, Younghoe Lee, going to the San Francisco Giants.
Give me your NL Manager of the Year, because you and I both agree on this one, and I think it simply is by if they win the division, he's the Manager of the Year.
Not only do we agree on something, we agree on something that involves the Cubs, because Craig Counsell jumping over to the Cubs in this division, it's the Cubs division to win.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, since the Cubs just missed the playoffs last year, even if they're the favorite going into it, even if he does the job that he came in here to do, it still would be really neat to see Counsell lead the Cubs to a division title. So I have Counsell being the National League Manager of the Year.
Yeah, that's simply to me, if he wins a division, he wins that award. American League, I'm going to go with you on this one, but I'm really iffy on it because it really depends on who wins again the division and where they were last season. Who do you have as the AL Manager?
See, and I picked someone that I think will have a losing record this year, but I think at the same time, I think they can kind of surprise people as well. I'm kind of holding out that as a dark horse team, Detroit can be better than how I projected them. And that's why I have AJ Hinch winning it, because I think if he can turn that team into a contender this year, then he's got to be the best one. But of course, you know, Bruce Bochy getting his flowers for what he's doing with the Rangers that he didn't get last year. And Brandon Hyde, of course, you know, I think he won it last year with the surprise that the Orioles had. He truly might be one of the best managers we have in the league right now.
All right, Paulie, it's time for the big ones. What's your ALCS matchup?
I got the Houston Astros getting revenge on the Texas Rangers 4-2.
I have the Houston Astros beating the Baltimore Orioles in 7 games.
So I'd love Texas versus Baltimore, I think would be a good one, but I think you interchange those three teams however you'd like, and I think that'd make for a great ALCS.
In the NLCS, Paulie, who do you have?
So, I mean, the standard bearer, I think, would be the L.A. Dodgers with how much money they spent and all the expectations that are riding on them. But, of course, out in the East, you've got the Atlanta Braves, who have always been in there. I mean, sure, Philadelphia could spoil the party. The Cubs could be really hot this year. We don't know how great they're going to be. Arizona, nobody expected to make it to the World Series last year. So, but, yeah, Dodgers over the Braves, 4-2.
I have the San Francisco Giants losing to the Philadelphia Phillies in the NLCS.
I love it.
In the World Series, Paulie, who do you have?
Oh,
winning
we've
the whole
got
thing.
A repeat of the 2017 World Series, exacting revenge on the trash can gate. The Dodgers beat the Astros 7 games. Freddie Freeman is your MVP.
Houston will lose the World Series to the Philadelphia Phillies in 7 games.
Ooh, we got a repeat of the 2022 World Series, but the Phillies' exact revenge.
It's going to be a fun MLB season. Paulie, you want to take us home on this entire journey as we've gone? We've talked about the White Sox. We've talked about the Cubs. We've broken down the NL. We've broken down the AL. We've given you pennants, and we've given you World Series winners. Any thoughts before we finally get to official opening day here in the United States for the Major League Baseball 2024 season?
I hope it's a good season. Baseball is always going to baseball, you know, so let the cards fall where they may. I just hope that we're not in for more disastrous surprises like Shohei Ohtani having a gambling problem.
And if there is, stay right here and stay tuned to the Sports Cubicle, because we will break it all down. Enjoy opening day of Major League Baseball. Enjoy all our content as we have the summer-long marathon. I'm your host, Mike Mercado. He's Paul Shivari. It's been the Sports Cubicle.
Has anybody seen Rob Manfred?